And a good morning. It's now 9:07, and Brandon Peoples is off today and filling in for him on In Focus as a young lady who is not afraid of a challenge. Kelsey Bigelow is hosting In Focus this morning.
Good morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN. A lot on the slate today. Later on, we're going to be talking to Shelly Williams from the Manhattan Soup Kitchen. She'll be discussing an upcoming event. We'll also speak with Maddie Ogle with the Manhattan Public Library. But we're going to get started this morning with Ascension Via Christi President and CEO Bob Koppel. Good morning. How's it going, Bob?
Morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, it's warm inside, not so much outside.
Yeah, it's a little chilly, to say the least. So, Bob, you know, each day seems like we're kind of making a step in the right direction. I mean, we saw the positivity rates drop below 5%. It just seems kind of rather encouraging.
So we've certainly seen, I think I shared with, when I talked to Dave yesterday, we have three positive inpatients this morning at the hospital. Two of them are actually in the ICU. But overall, the volume of COVID hospital patients is down. The community positivity rate has continued to also, just keep inching down as well. So those are all good indicators. It's just a question of, we got to sustain that path and sustain the trajectory that we're on, because it's a good one.
And, you look at that and you see the COVID numbers declining. So has that seen any kind of increase in the other types of cases you guys have seen, such as flu, strep, anything like that?
So actually this year we have seen little to zero flu. We actually attribute that to, one, there was just a lower prevalence of flu in the southern hemisphere for their winter, which precedes ours. And I think in both hemispheres, the steps people have been taking with masking and hand hygiene specifically, social distancing certainly helps as well. But the masking and the hand hygiene, we believe that's what's led to just less viral transmission. From a census perspective, we're actually pretty busy, but it's more of our normal winter kind of patients. And then we are starting to see this trickle of patients who are having post-COVID health issues. A lot of those either pulmonary or cardiac related. And this is, we now know that having COVID, you're at risk for actually damaging your heart tissue, damaging your lung tissue. And so we've started to see patients kind of in that next phase, if you will. They were, had COVID earlier last summer or last fall, and now actually potentially have a lifelong, condition they're going to have to deal with. And we're going to hopefully be trying to help them with that. But that's kind of that next stage that we're already starting to see.
And you talk about them having some heart issues that might be long-term. Is there any effect to their immune system after that you guys have seen?
I'm probably not the right person to ask that. I don't know if we've seen any like immunocompromising issues. It's been more issues, excuse me, related to vascular things. Certain cardiac ailments. And then with the lung tissue, there's for a lot of patients, there's actually like a scarring that's occurred. And so it just kind of makes you more now apt to have other sorts of pulmonary issues. And so it's kind of this, everything's connected, and you almost have to kind of wait to see how it's going to play out for some folks. And we don't, again, we just don't know, because this is all so recent. Will any of that resolve over the next year or two, or will it not? And it's just, we haven't had that time period, quite honestly.
And each day, you guys are taking steps to kind of adjust to all the changes. And recently, you guys made a little bit of a change to your visitation procedures. Just talk to me a little bit about that.
Sure. Last Thursday, we went back to having one visitor for inpatients who are not in the ICU. So these are like our medical surgical patients up on the third floor. It's a space that we actually, the entire space is negative air. So we've got that protection in place. We're asking all the visitors to actually just stay in the patient room their entire time they're here. And so that way you don't have all the exposure and you don't have people out in the hallways interacting. We're limiting it to the same person. So whoever you pick as your visitor, make sure you like them, because that's who you're going to get to see. And then we also are asking that they just come once a day, and they can stay as long as they want, but we don't want people coming and going, because all you're doing is kind of upping the potential for exposures during the day. That I think that's it's a welcome change for patients, huge deal for families, and quite honestly for our staff. It's so much more helpful to have a family member there, especially if you've got to do some teaching or education around perhaps new medications, new therapy, kind of laying out the course of this is what you now need to do over the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. From our providers, the physicians, they can actually just answer some of the questions right then. You know, if you got a family member there, and it just makes it, I think we believe it makes it a better healthcare experience. And we also know that if our positivity rate goes back up in the community, if some of the other indicators go the wrong way, we're going to have to go back to limiting visitation again, because it's the safe thing to do. And so this is all part of kind of our internal process of, as we've seen the metrics change and our volumes drop, that kind of opened the door back up, because we had limits on visitation, I think back since Labor Day. It's been a long time. So this is actually for us, and we've always allowed a visitation, one person for somebody who's having a baby, and also our end of life situations. We've been able to maintain that the entire 11 months, but it's actually a big step. And we're hoping, you know, as things continue to improve, we would be in a position to do that for our ICU patients. And then we're looking at all of our outpatient services as well. At this point, you also cannot have a visitor if you go to an outpatient service. So, you know, maybe in March we'll be able to make further modifications. Really all depends on what we see happening in the community.
Yeah, it's great to have that as an opportunity for those in the hospital. I mean, just mental health and everything. But with that visitation, are there any sorts of COVID guidelines once they get into the room of that patient?
So the one caveat, if a patient is COVID positive, we are actually still restricting visitation. And again, at this point, it's those three people. So that's not as cumbersome a deal. Everybody gets screened as they come in the facility. You're going to get your temperature taken. You're going to get asked all those questions. And then once they're there with the patient, we actually ask all of our patients and their visitors to always have a mask on. And other than that, the only time we would ask a visitor to step out of the room is if we're doing an aerosolizing procedure, because that's going to make it more apt to spread. But again, for the most part, I think people will be able to come back, and we've seen pretty good response. Like last summer, in the spring, we had visitor restrictions. We were able to relax those because the positivity rate was low in the community. We had visitors, and we actually had a lot of family members who were very leery about coming into the hospital to visit their family members because they were worried about their own health. And I do think this time around, we're seeing less of that. So we're actually seeing more visitors, because previously when we'd let up on the visitor restrictions, we actually did not have a lot of visitors. People were still staying away. So I think that's, again, been another positive, and it's just time and all of us learning more.
And again, speaking with Ascension Via Christi President and CEO Bob Koppel, and taking a little shift here, Bob, as we talked about a decrease in numbers, but obviously there's still some positive tests coming in. What's the severity of the more recent cases been like?
Probably our biggest shift has been we've seen younger patients. So in the last week to 10 days, we have admitted people with COVID in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. And we still have a few older people, but you go back 3 or 4 weeks and it was pretty much all 70s, 80s, and 90-year-old people. So that's just a shift. I think it's kind of a cautionary thing too, because when we're seeing that kind of shifting into a different kind of age cadre, we really need to understand the why and the how. And I don't know that we fully understand that yet. The nationwide, the highest group of positive people are in the 35 to 45 year age cadre right now in the United States. So that would be kind of consistent then with who we're seeing actually come into the hospital. But we'd started out, you go back a few months, it was much younger, 18 to 24, that sort of age cadre was the highest percentage of positives. And that's now kind of shifted into some of our more middle-aged folks. I think that's, again, that's probably a little bit reflective. We have made inroads from a vaccination standpoint with some of the, begin with older high-risk people in long-term care facilities, senior congregant living facilities. And those folks have all, I think in our county anyway, I believe they've had both their first and their second dose, plus their staff. And so that's kind of a huge step in kind of protecting the population. And I know with Riley County, they're very quickly moving through their group two over 65 year age people with significant health situations. They started yesterday with the education staff from USD 383 and our other school districts are doing more vaccinations today with that population. And you do kind of just start to carve out and protect these segments, and it accumulates. That's the goal. It's just a how, you know, what's the quantity available vaccine? And at this point, we have a lot of folks who are interested and willing, and that's really key too. You want to have those people registered with the county, so that when it's go time, they've got the lag. If they get the vaccine, you can start using it tomorrow. There's not this lag of time period. So that's why it's important. The county's been asking people to sign up. That's why it's important. We've got to have the go list, so we're ready to roll once we get vaccine. But it's all, you know, it's actually kind of starting to get into a cadence, and that's really positive.
And you know, you talk about the vaccine. Is there any sort of timeline as far as the next phase of the distribution or what that will look like?
Well, from our part, we've given over 1,400 doses now to healthcare providers and physicians. We have about another 200 second doses that we will, because everything's on kind of a calendar, so we will have achieved all of that by March 1st. With the county, they're shifting into these next kind of pieces of phase two. And at the current pace, they will have gotten to most of these people with their first dose over the next several weeks, actually. I mean, we're really talking March here. By the time spring rolls around, a lot of the group two with the county will actually already have their second dose. And so then that really sets the stage for, as we roll into late March, early April, that funnel kind of getting wider and wider. And I think you're going to see the pace kind of pick up. Some of the local pharmacies in our region, they have started to receive, and it's limited. They're getting like, I think, 100 doses at many of the facilities. But that just creates another opportunity, another access point to get people vaccinated. And that's, again, so you have this, the desire is one to increase the number of vaccines available, but you've got to also start increasing the number of access points. Last week, the state of Kansas was delivering around 11,000 doses a day. As you increase the access points, can you get that to 15,000 doses? Then can you get it to 17 or 18,000 doses a day? And that's really when you start to just make these huge steps into the population. So that, you know, again, I'm pretty encouraged. We would all like it to go faster, sure.
Right.
But, you know, the reality is it's actually moving along pretty smoothly. We're getting good coverage across our state. That's very important because the Manhattan community, our region, is actually fairly mobile. There's a lot of people moving in and out of our region every day, mainly from within the state. And so that's why you've got to kind of get a wider area of folks protected if we want to have protection here in our own county.
Right. All right, Bob, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more right here on News Radio KMAN.